Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, I'm waiting on the pastor to log on. Seems like he's not on yet, so hopefully he has not forgotten about us today. So, today's topic is a very interesting topic, as the topic has to do with the laying of hands. So basically it indicates, what does the Bible teaches us about the laying of hands? When we talk about whether it is anointing individuals with oil or the laying of hands, there appears to be a lot of confusion that surrounds this awkward ritual. Is it a ritual? Is it a process? What is it? Throughout the Bible, one can find both positive and negative senses regarding this process. Many individuals, as myself, we have observed this progress as we saw it on television. We've seen it in the church. I remember being a little kid watching pastors preach and touch individuals and they fall out and, you know. So today we're going to be talking about that, answering questions and the doubts that individuals may have. So, again, I want to thank you for joining Pastor Dan Estelle and I, as today we're going to be talking about from the pulpit to the couch. Let me log him on. Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. It is a blessed Tuesday here in Southern California. We're happy for all the listeners that are listening on today. It is just starting to cool down just a little bit, so God is good. And we have an exciting topic today, and I'm very thrilled about the discussion that's going to take place.
Thank you, Pastor, because today has been crazy for me. I was looking for my other phone, so I hope this one don't have a lot of static, because I'm running around here like a chicken with my head cut off trying to get stuff done. Don't know where stuff is, driving on the freeway, watching ladders in the middle of the street with accidents. And I was cold. This drive. But, you know, you got to do what you have to do. So,
yeah.
Today's topic is a very interesting topic, especially as we're talking about the laying of hands. I remember one day Joanne sent me this thing on Messenger, and they were talking about laying hands on people. And that process is something that's very confusing for believers and non-believers, even when we talk about the different church denominations, whether it's, you know, individual Christians, whether they go to a Baptist church, you know, whether they're Jewish. It has a symbol. So, Pastor, explain to individuals what that means, and we're going to be going into depth with that, because a lot of times, sometimes people are scared of that. What does it mean in regards to the laying of hands? What does the Bible teach us in regards to that?
Yes. It is correct to state that this is a biblical teaching. It is for Christians. It is something that God has for believers. We see it take place in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so, very important question, what is the laying on hands? The laying on of hands, first of all, is an act. And it's an act of impartation. It's an act of transference of power, transference of blessings. It's symbolic culturally for the Semitic people in the Old Testament, and then for Christians, the new believers in the New Testament. And the laying on of hands is a symbolic act that sets individuals apart. And it signifies the imparting of, number one, spiritual blessings, authority, number two. And authority can be the same as power. Blessings, number three. And those are the three main things that we're going to hit on today. We're going to talk about some of the other sides of it, but basically what it is that believers seeing the power of God through his ministers or his chosen people. And I want to add in the opening statement, too, that the laying on of hands, we also see it accompanied through prayer, as you talked about earlier in your opening segment. The laying on of hands, as described in Acts 9 and 17, the laying on of hands for healing and for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we also see in the book of Acts. And so it's an impartation, it's a transference from the more powerful or the more spiritually blessed leader, minister, prophet or God's chosen or God's anointed to believers. And so that's the most important thing to understand about believers. Can God do things other ways? Yes, he can, and he still does. But in some instances, in some situations, God gives us specific instructions. And in one of those, like we talked about in Acts, if you're sick, go to the elders and let them lay hands upon you. And so that can be translated a couple of ways. Literally, by the laying on of hands and praying, okay? And as we see symbolically a lot of times in the church, they want to lay hands upon the head. They want to anoint with oil. But also, it doesn't have to be just that, Jeanette. It can also be just touching and agreeing. Laying hands is also just touching, agreeing. We're connecting and we're partnering. And so people don't have to get caught up in that, oh, he didn't lay hands right, or they didn't do it right, or they didn't anoint the oil correctly, these types of things. It is about faith. It is about an anointed minister of God following God's instructions for healing, for the impartation of power, for deliverance, for passing on of blessings, all of those things.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, it's interesting because as you're talking and I start reflecting back on being a kid going to church and seeing a lot of the things that I saw and just even with the oil. Do you know I was grown when I realized that was olive oil? I really thought, I used to wonder, where did people get this oil from? Who gave them this oil? And then when I learned it was olive oil, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, so a lot of things we have to learn, we have to basically gain a better understanding of things.
Right.
And even with church and the different denominations that I've seen where some individuals, when you go to church, if you see people falling out on the floor, kids get scared. And I'll never forget once my mother had my son go to the altar and the pastor touched him and my son fell. And I couldn't wait to talk to him because I was like, what happened? Why didn't get up? Why didn't move? And he was trying to explain that experience because I've never felt that.
Yes.
I don't know what I touched me. You know?
Yes.
But it was so powerful. He was like, Mom, I couldn't move. That was
right.
When I knew it was real because I just knew he was going to get up off the floor. But he couldn't. He said he couldn't move. So but when we see it on television, we'd be like, oh, that's fake. Oh, they pretending. Oh, they. I had first experience when I saw my son hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about that, Pastor, and even, like I said, talking about the laying of hands, how it can be positive, how it can be negative, how it adds so much confusion, because it seems like that is one of the things that even individuals that don't go to church, that they're afraid of.
Yeah.
Why is that, Pastor?
Well, people are afraid of what they don't understand, you know, what they don't know. And, again, there's no difference from when Jesus was on the earth. People like to see the mystical. Now, the difference with the mystical in regards to the church is that it's real. There's a spiritual realm. There's power working. It's activated through faith. It's activated through the obedience of God and his ordinances. And what happens is when spirits connect in a positive way, then the power of the Lord is allowed to move. And I hope the people caught that because I'm reminded of the woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus didn't lay hands on her, but she laid hands on Jesus. And he said, because of that faith, you're made whole. And what happened was with her faith connected with Jesus' faith, Jesus said, my virtue is being pulled out of me, to say it plainly. And my virtue is coming from me, healing her. And what happens is that you could have the most anointed apostolic man of God and lay hands on a non-believer, somebody that has no faith, and nothing's going to happen. But if you have that anointed man of God that's sincere about the Lord, that wants to see someone healed, someone touched, someone. You can see with a person that has faith and that believes in the Lord, you can see miracles happen. And so when you talk about that, why are people scared of that? Because some people are there for a show. And then some people are scared because they didn't think it was real, or they didn't think that this could really happen, and they're seeing something happen in front of them. The other reason why they're scared is that there are spirits inside of them that are battling them that know that what's going on is real. And so I mentioned in speaking with someone this past weekend and also at church, I believe, on Sunday, how even the demons recognize the power of Jesus. And they cried out and said, it's not our time yet. Why are you messing with us? It's not our time, because they understand the scriptures. They know their time, but they also recognize the true power. And so we see that sometimes in church when people are struggling, when people are fighting, when people are dealing with addictions, and when they're dealing with temptations and they're filled with demonic powers, there's a pull, there's an apprehension that's keeping them from going to the altar or allowing the man of God, the woman of God, to lay hands upon him, to touch and agree and to be healed, because there's that spiritual tug of war, there's their spiritual fight. The other thing is that all the stigma from the media, like you said, from television, from bad reports from people, from word of mouth, from gossip, by a lot of people saying stuff like, that's not real. That stuff don't work. Those preachers just want money. They're just trying to have a show. And there are some of those reports that are correct, that has given a bad name to the church, that keeps people, you know, from going forth in the Lord. But in most instances, it's true, and it's the devil just doing his job. And so what I would tell someone to do is search the scriptures. You'll see it from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, how the Lord uses the impartation of the laying on of hands, and it's all good. It's blessings. It's encouragement. It's all these things. And so I'm going to get into some of the negative side later, but I just wanted to answer your original question right there.
Well, thank you, Pastor, because like I said, the laying of hands can go into a lot of different areas, because some individuals look at it, or basically it was also a ceremonial of the laying of hands, and that's in Hebrews, and they were mentioning of six teachings. So when we start talking about that, and the more information, sometimes too much information and lack of information can also cause confusion. So when you talk about power, it is very powerful, because like I said, I couldn't wait for my son to get up off that floor so I could just pick his brain, because if anybody, I was like, he ain't going for that. My son ain't going to let that.
but it's just as the old proverb says about the moth and the flame. You know, the other moths want to know, how was the experience? How was it? And he says, you know, if you get too close, you'll find the experience, but then you won't be able to tell. And so the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the anointing, you know, some people, you know, they can't really express everything there is because our language is limited. I remember, you know, I was saved at 8 years old, but I received the Holy Ghost at 10. And I remember when I received the Holy Ghost, I was at a conference, and we were in the mid section. There was about 500 youth there. And we were in the mid rows, and no one could see us, and the praise was going on. And, you know, we young boys, and we just play shouting. You know how we did in church? We just shouting, like we shouting. And so all of a sudden, my feet start dancing for real. and they're like, look at Danny, he got it, and I was like, my feet won't stop. And I was like, the shout had me for real. And my heart, the conviction, the overwhelming power of God, the love, the radiance, all of that overtook me, they gave an altar call, and I walked right up right away. And one of the youth leaders laid hands on me, and I got up like an hour and a half later. I was in the spirit with the Lord. I can't explain it. They told me things I said, things that I, you know, were prophesying, the way the Lord was using me. how I was quoting scripture, and I was like, I ain't do none of that. where I was in the power of the Lord, and what I felt was that nothing could ever harm me again, and what I felt was such a love and joy, kind of like the first time you eat ice cream, you know, and know it, you know, something like that, because ice cream has an effect on me. That's the closest, you know, but that was the impartation. Now, as a longtime pastor, superintendent, whatever you want to call it, senior pastor, whatever, I know that there are times and the impartation of the Spirit when I have laid hands upon people, when not just, you know, I could see the revelation of the Lord with them, but also I could feel it. You know, I've laid hands upon people and felt the impartation of energy, okay, of submerged, and also of joy and of weight being lifted off of them and of healing and all the different experiences, and understanding that the only thing it had to do with me was being obedient to God, that God was using me, the one laying on hands, as a conduit or as a conductant for his power, for his glory. Because what it comes down to is that spirits need a body in this realm. In this earth realm, we need an earth suit. And so even the Lord, you know, in these instances, God follows his own guidelines, his own rules, and he uses his ministers and his leaders and his disciples, male or female. And when we choose to be that vessel of God, the one imparting into a believer that wants to receive, and we're connecting now, because God doesn't force himself upon anybody, not a minister or an elder. You can never have the attitude like, well, let me lay hands on these people. Nothing's going to happen. And the person can't say, well, let me go up to this altar and see what God going to do. Well, nothing's going to happen, because faith is one of the main ingredients, and trust in the Lord, and that having that spirit of anticipation, you know, that God is going to do this, and God, in his infinite wisdom, you know, knows those that are ready to receive and understand his commandments. When there are any two that are touching and agreeing, and the Lord says, wow, let me work now. And he does. And so some things, Jeanette, I'm just going to put it out there, it is not for the believer to understand. With my three degrees in ministry and theology, there's a lot of things I don't understand, because the Bible leaves it open to interpretation. That's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. And then that's where these two words that are real important to this subject on today for people having a hard time. It is experience and it is testimony. The testimony, you experiencing your son and seeing it, you got a testimony, and hearing his testimony, that heightened your faith and your belief.
It did. I mean, I saw it a lot in church, because I grew up in the Church of God in Christ. And even as a child, sing in choirs, and we would visit Methodist churches, Church of God in Christ. Very few Baptist churches I've been to or I attended as a child, because, like I said, that was my mother's thing, was the Church of God in Christ. But also, I'm thinking of the song that Shirley Caesar made, and she sung that song about when she was playing church, and she finally got the Holy Ghost, and her mother, they was like, Shirley out there playing again, and no, she was on fire, you know. So it does happen. So I am definitely a true believer, because I know it's real. But then, like I said, when you see it on television and you're trying to get individuals to go to church, to believe in God, and many times they're confused because, and we think God works miracles, and talking about just that power, the power of us speaking in tongues, a lot of times it confuses individuals, because you're looking at the Old Testament versus the New Testament and what's happening in churches today.
Well, let me tell you a quick testimony before we get to the next question. And I might have given this testimony before, so excuse me. But my best friend invited his boss to work. And he invited, I mean, his boss to church. And he invited his boss to church on First Sunday. And First Sunday in the Pentecostal church is usually the most, one that's going to be more traditional, because there's communion, there's slower songs, that type of thing. And so he said, come on first Sunday. And he was like, Dan, he said, I hope, you know, y'all don't, you know, we get crazy. And who's emceeing today? Such and such. Okay, I'm all right. They don't MC, you know, with power. And he was like, okay, it's a safe Sunday. I think I'm going to be all right. And because he was always testifying at work about how good God is, how good his job is, not a lot, but a little bit, and his boss heard it. And so here comes the owner of the company coming to church with his wife, and they're white, and we're mostly all black church, 90% black church. They come in there and airing on pins and needles, if you can imagine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that Sunday, it was a Sunday in June, I'll never forget it, and church turned out. Church turned up, like the young people say, from the very start of the church. We must have shouted the whole service. We shouted during prayer. We shouted communion. We shouted through the pastor's message. And after church, Pope Aaron was so embarrassed. He said, we were and his boss, at the end of service, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to expect. But the owner of the company came up and joined the church,
mm-hmm.
him and his wife. And when he asked him why he joined the church, he said, because I've been reading about this in the book of Acts. I've been reading about this in my studies. I've been reading about this. And he said, this is the first church my wife and I have visited in 3 years where we actually saw the laying on of hands, healing, people shouting in the Lord, going forth. And we just wondered, was this really real?
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
and so the Lord works in mysterious ways like that.
Mm-hmm. Even as you're seeing it, I can hear my mother's voice always telling me, you also have to be careful with who you let touch you, too.
Yes.
Because even though, you know, a lot of times when you have altar calls, you got people running up to the altar wanting to be touched, wanting to be, you know, touch and agree. But sometimes you have to be careful. And I'm also noticing now as I'm maturing in my Christian walk is a lot of pastors are also not touching and laying hands on individuals as they did back in the day too. So I'm seeing this shift. What is that shift about?
There's not really, I have to slow backtrack. There is a shift. There's two things. The first thing is that for the churches that aren't equipped and people fall and hurt themselves, there's liability.
Okay.
And for the companies, the churches that aren't properly insured, they're scared of that. The other reason is that pastors are very particular about laying on of hands because there's people out there who like to try and sue ministers.
Wow.
And pastors will, you know, pastors now are careful because, you know, if they're going to lay hands on somebody, they it's almost like doing an interview first. And
mm-hmm.
you know, having people there to catch them and to do these things, and some people do it in a separate service or after church service, and they're missing what I call the atmosphere. God has set an atmosphere through praise, through worship, through the people that are there, through the setting, through the message and the word, and someone's heart is touched, and they are in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then
mm-hmm.
now, you know, legalism, the enemy has put us in such a place that we have to be careful even handling God's business because of those reasons. And then what you said earlier, I mean, before that, there's two points to that. You know, 1 Timothy 5:22 tells pastors, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sin of others. You know, keep yourself from sin. So that goes both ways. If a preacher ain't right, he could pass on something to you. And if a preacher ain't strong enough, he can get something passed to him. Do you understand what
right.
I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
and that's what God is saying to the pastor. And so here's the work, the preparation of going into Sunday ministry for most pastors. There's a time of setting aside for study, yes. There's a time for consecration, yes. And then there's the time for for praying and fasting. And all of these things are for, you don't know what kind of spirits are going to come into your church. The doors of the church are open, and we want the lost to come in to be saved. The members come in, and they're worn down and beaten from their week, different things. And then, you know, people just come in lost. And so you have to be prepared for all those things as a pastor. And I talk about discernment a lot, because discernment is not the spirit of suspicion, and you have to understand what you're doing. And so we had the young lady a few Sundays ago in our local church, you might remember, some things were going on with her mentally. And
yes.
And what we had to do was, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, preach your message. You got a message today. That's the enemy trying to use her as a distraction, and she's trying to fight the enemy because she really wants to be free, and all of this is going on. So the Lord gave me instructions on how to do until we could reach her after service. And so we had a person who was literally taking almost every word verbatim that she was being given. And what happened was another pastor, not understanding, had advised her she needed to be on fire for the Lord, but not breaking down what our, you know, our lingo, what that language means in Christianity, that colloquial to us, being on fire from the Lord is just being, you know, excited about God, being abundant in our praise, okay, being hungry for the word of the Lord, meaning that we want to know more about him. And she literally took fire as fire. And the young lady could have harmed herself, seriously. And so,
but you know what?
Yes.
Pastor, you know what I'm going to say to you? I don't know if you paid any attention, but when you're sitting in a congregation and you look at that little banner, there's a banner and some flame. And if a person not in their right mind, are they delusional in addition to dealing with spirits and demonic spirits and mental health issues, it does add confusion. And
shall
I saw the banner the other day.
That's why it's so important to be alert and to understand that we deal with different types of personalities and different types of people. And if you are going to touch, lay hands, you have to be charged up. You have to be on point, so to speak. You have to be relevant with the Lord. And so we must understand that. Jesus laid hands on people a lot, and other times he just spoke to them. And when you look at the different points in Scripture, most of the time when he laid hands upon people is when his disciples were there and he was instructing them. Because Jesus, being the God-man, could have healed any way he wanted to. And so the laying on of hands for us, it provides a sign. And it's a tangible sign for people to see, to understand. The first lesson is that there is a hierarchy within ministry. We're not just free for all. A pastor, and most pastors I know, there are some that just have jumped in the pulpit and know a family member, know an uncle and somebody, and got into a pulpit and they're preaching, you know. But most of the pastors I know have matriculated. They have gone to seminary. They have gone to, you know, board-qualified schools. They have been within seminaries within their own denomination. And then even after that, you know, they have gone through licensing certifications. And that's, you know, 95% of the ministers and people I know. And most of that training is on how to handle God's people via the Scriptures. And one of the things that we deal with the most is the topic that we're talking about today, the laying on hands. I really want to express right here at our halfway point, we've been into the show a half hour. I might talk about this a few more minutes. This is not one of those things that you see the pastor do, and then you say, okay, I'm going to go and do this. Because you could get seriously hurt. You could be seriously damaged there can be irreparable harm that come about. We have an example in the book of Acts about the seven sons of Sceva, where they saw how Paul laid hands and how Paul used the handkerchiefs that the Lord had given him and how Paul cast out demons by laying on of hands and by using the authority of the Lord that God had given him. And they wanted to use this as a method of making money. And what happened was, you know, they went to some people who were filled with demons and tried to perform exorcism, and they were hurt. They were damaged and almost lost their lives. And so there's two sides of this. There's nothing more disappointing than a person coming to church wanting to be healed, wanting to be touched, wanting to be saved, and having hands laid upon them with no impartation because the pastor, the minister, has no power. That is seriously disappointing. It is an affront to God. It is an offense to God. Okay? And also, what we like to term bathroom prophets or parking lot prophets. You know, people are like you indicated earlier, they may not approach the pastor on the altar because somebody they like is in church. They don't want somebody they got a crush on to see them go to the altar. I might fall out. You know, different ones are watching. A plethora of reasons, you know. And during that altar time, there's a lot of spiritual battles going on, Jeanette. There's a lot of there's a lot of drawing. Yeah, there's a lot of drawing by the Holy Spirit, drawing people to the altar, and then there's a lot of, you know, blocking by the by demons and by self and by peer pressure, saying, you know, you want to go up there, you know. And what happens is people will approach, you know, and they'll say, why don't you go to the altar, girl? You know, it was your day of spirit. Well, why don't you just pray for me right now? And that person isn't the one. They may not be the one. They may not have, you know, the power, the authority, the ranking. They might be just as heavy laden as you are. You understand all, you know, everything that I'm saying? And that's why it's so important to understand that. I want people to really understand that.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that none of my godbrothers or family members have called, because I used to be bad at threatening folks, making them go to the altar. I would drag them to the altar, pop them upside the head, and make them jump up and go to the altar.
Yeah.
You got to stop being so violent in church.
Yeah.
I think guys were seeing me when I was popping people in the back of the head. They'd stand up. I was doing all of that. But, you know, but part of that, too, is so draining. It's very draining. It's draining for the individual that's asking for deliverance and want that deliverance to go through that process, and it's also draining for the pastor as he's standing there. And it kind of reminds me of, like, watching the movie The Green Mile when he was sucking in all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And you got to let stuff out there. That's a draining process.
What people don't understand is that the Moody Bible Institute did a study on Pentecostal and charismatic pastors. A powerful, charged preaching message like I preach, you've seen me preach, obviously, for about an hour under the power, the anointing of the Lord, a charismatic, sanctified Pentecostal message is equivalent to the drain of an eight-hour workday. Okay, that's a Moody Bible Institute study. That's a key study. That's a fact. Now, when you add to that a pastor or a minister that works the altar now, especially during a revival or a conference, an hour and a half hour, that's hard. That's a very, very real thing, and people need to understand that. And now, these individuals, these leaders, these pastors, these missionaries, these ministers, they have to go and be restored now. And so after you have done that, you know, that impartation, after you've done, been that vessel of the Lord for healing and done with this, here it is, the key phrase, it's spiritual warfare. You have to go now and be renewed. And that's important for us to keep that up, because there's going to come another battle. There's going to be someone else to lay hands on, either through a blessing, either through healing, either through an impartation of gifts. There's so many different types of laying on of hands. And so the leader has to be in tune with the Lord and in tune with what God is doing.
That is true, Pastor. That is so true. And I mean, like I said, and a lot of times individuals don't understand that. And I even, you know, even with the show, when we're talking about it with the biblical teachings and from a therapeutic point of view, because even with me being a therapist and some of the things that I have to deal with, and I got to be careful with what I say, how I say it, I just let the Lord use me. But my clients appreciate that, but it is very draining. It's like, wow, you're dealing with all of this stuff. Even when I did the show yesterday and we were talking about how to restore my marriage or my relationship, and we were talking about that restoration and how a lot of times individuals just bring that stuff to the pastor. They bring it to the therapist and they just drop it there and want you to fix it. And it's like, you know, I can't fix this, but through the Holy Spirit, through God. And a lot of times, even when you're telling them something, as you're laying hands on them, they want to know where you get information. So it's just...
Well, you learn as a pastor. Well, I say you learn as a pastor as you mature to let God handle his business and you handle yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm telling the truth. It took me a while to realize to leave it on the altar, to leave it in the office, to leave it at the church, and to not beat yourself up over it and not to handle things. It is... hear me, everybody. It is recognizing the power of the Lord. And so, you know, when I was a young pastor, I thought that if one of my members were sick in the hospital, I had to be there every day, 2-3 times a day to show my care. And you wear yourself out. And then as you get older and wiser, you read the scripture, you know, even the centurion said, Jesus, you ain't got to come to my house. I know your power. You just speak the word, and I know he heals. And so people forget. I have family. I have children. I have a job. I have things to do. For me to come and visit you, once to call you, it's a big deal out of my day and time because my schedule is tight. And to understand that love and that respect is there, you know. And so it's the same thing with the laying on hands of people. People can't get addicted to that. People can't get addicted to the experience. I've seen the abuse of it. I've seen, you know, there was times when I said, no, I'm not laying hands on them anymore. And people get mad. Pastor, no, you up here every Sunday and you showing out. and it's just, you know, an act for you. And you have to remind them that the word repentance means a full turnaround from. And so...
Wow.
You know, it true repentance, you know, you only have to do it once. So if you're repenting from something every Sunday, you're not true to it. And so even the pastoring elder has to recognize that and has to see, you know, there's another motive here. There's another thing going on here. Not necessarily, you know, to the extreme, but it is an addiction. There's shout addiction. There's, you know, the praise addiction. There's just people that come to church because they're addicted to gospel music. And there are those that are addicted to the laying on of hands. They can't wait.
Yep.
They sit there and they wait and they want to see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Not to cut you off, Pastor, because we do have a call. I'm about to log this person on. But I wanted to say, you guys had a cousin named Sean. And Sean would always run to the altar. And sometimes they would minimize, you know, her running up there. They would try to grab her, try to stop her. Mother would be like, grab Sean, go get her. But she would go up there, and she would look sincere sometimes, but she really wanted to go to the altar.
Yeah.
Let me log this caller on, and let's see if this caller have any questions. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Okay, I guess they don't want to say anything. Last two numbers is 33, so I logged them on. So I didn't know if they had a question or not. So, Pastor, I'm glad you spoke on that addiction because, like I said, there are individuals that would go every week, be the first one up there, waiting on somebody to touch them, to say something. How is a pastor to handle that stuff?
Yes, it's like we said, it's through knowing your flock, knowing your congregation, understanding the people, and moving under the anointing and then using the discernment of the Lord. And then knowing how to handle individuals the correct way. And so a lot of times this is not an instance where you want to publicly embarrass somebody. This is an instance where you would pull someone aside and educate them, and you would deal with them, and you can call them at home, and you can, you know, deal with it so many other ways. And so, you know, that's the way you want to handle that, to educate them and have them come out to more study classes, Bible classes, and things of that nature. And so, but to allow something like that to continue is an abuse, and no good will come of it. And so the proper thing to do is to educate them and educate them in the glory of the Lord.
Right. Okay, Pastor, we got a caller on the line. This call is kind of funny because there's a question mark. So if it's a prank call, I'm hanging up. But let's see, because there is a question mark.
Well, hello. Hello,
hi,
y'all.
Oh.
Let me see.
Been in the ministries for 45 years. And I have to say that the world thinks of it as an addiction, and that's okay if you want to think that way. But when we look at what Jesus, how he did his healing, we can teach that. And, you know, I think it's wonderful that you're paying very close attention to this particular thing, because what we talk about in our group is called codependency. And they're codependent with the pastor or the preacher or the teachers in the Sunday school and all that, and they haven't really increased their faith. And that's what you have to teach.
Yes,
Jesus,
ma'am,
was all about teaching faith. I mean, his main lesson was, even to his disciples, then the Great Commission has been totally messed up so many times, to go into all the world and make disciples.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we are here to now. We think, okay, it's not to save you. You must be a disciple. You must have self-discipline in your own faith, and you can reach out to God. You don't need me to reach out to God. Is that making more sense to what you're talking about?
It makes a lot of sense. And part of it is, you know, even when I was getting this topic together, and it started off with you can lay hands on yourself, and
right,
even talking about codependency, and I'm a licensed therapist, and a
yes,
lot
ma'am,
of individuals are just now learning the definition of codependency, because they viewed it as addiction,
yeah,
to drugs or alcohol. And so
right,
as you're first trying to educate individuals on a lay level in regards to what codependency actually means, taking that to the church, individuals
right,
automatically go into denial, because the church is like a hospital. So
yeah,
they're dealing,
I agree
with
all you,
of these issues, and individuals want to be delivered, but then they keep doing the same thing, bringing the same issue to the altar,
yeah,
waiting on the pastor or somebody to fix it.
Exactly. You're right. You're right, sister. But you see, the thing, doing the same thing and getting the same results.
Yeah,
and the
right,
world,
and
the world has gotten into the church, and I believe the word is in Revelation that at the last days that we're going to start discovering that the world has gotten into the church. And once we recognize it, and that's for us to recognize through the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And I'm just proud to say that, you know, we have some Baptist teachers right now in Pastor, you know, that we're getting, and they're preaching the Holy Spirit now. And this is
yes,
a turnaround. This is a turnaround for the Baptists. You know, only dunking like John the Baptist, that press them, you know, they had that going on. And they never talked about the Holy Spirit till just this last year. Now that shows something right now, that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and fill the people. Don't just get a bath. Don't just get sprinkled.
Oh, right.
You know, all those rituals y'all were talking about. And when we do outside rituals, we have to understand that they're rituals. It is a ritual. Go ahead, honey.
And that's why we started off with the Old Testament and the New Testament in regards to what
yeah,
the Bible teaches, and talking about the history of and defining what the laying of hands is, because even the believers, they are confused, and the non-believers are turned off, and they're afraid to step into a church because they don't want nobody touching them. And that's the process how we're doing what we're doing to educate individuals in regards to the edifying word, to gain a better understanding where they have a pastor that they can question and pick our brain. And that's why we open to callers all over the world. And
amazing.
I truly appreciate you calling and mm-hmm. sharing your viewpoint and in regards to this topic. Pastor, what do you want to say in regards to the caller?
I wanted to say that she's right on point, definitely with the points that we were making. And some of the points that she referenced to, as you said, Jeanette, were things that we brought up earlier in the show.
Oh, okay. I wasn't listening earlier. Yeah, okay.
It's okay.
Well, I'm real happy with you. Let me just say this one thing. I know if you have more callers, your time is running out. But I just want to say I appreciate you coming on the airways all over the world, because the whole world, especially the Christianity or whatever you want to call what you're doing, you're following Christ. That's the importance of what you're doing. And you can't go wrong by following Jesus Christ. Can't go wrong. Okay, I'm going to leave you. Thank you so much. Bless you both. Okay?
Bless you.
Okay.
Thank you. A powerful caller, and just something that we have mentioned a couple of times, but it's good to hear someone from that background in that order and denomination to call in and to verify. That's huge, Jeanette, to hear that.
Well,
because
we
have that in our backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. I talked about that
so,
in the beginning. Baptist churches, you didn't see that, and how they view a lot of the talking in tongues and all of that quite differently. Because I shared that, like we did at the beginning of the show, because I went to very Baptist churches, but I was going to a lot of Church of God in Christ, so I saw a lot of the whole laying of hands. So as we would sing, and I would travel from Methodist churches, you know, no Jewish churches, but just how people do things differently. And part of it is education. I like how she shared about codependency, because that's a whole new term we're learning about.
Well, that's what we were, you know, what we were dealing with, where we don't want to embarrass individuals, but we do need to take them aside. And not only embarrassed, but we don't want to lose members either. And we don't want to scare people off. But what we want to do is educate them. And so, to me, there's two things that takes place there. There is the senior pastor who's educating his staff and altar workers. And we have that in our denomination in the Church of God. We have altar worker training and knowledge and certification, which is really important. Other churches have that too, to know how to handle these situations. But getting back to the codependency part and how far that could go, Jeanette, we have a lot of churches now that have to have security guards at the altar. And it's something that we shouldn't have to see in the church. But it's something that we have to deal with in this day and time, because there's so much going on out in the street. And when we open the doors of the church and invite people in, they're coming from off the streets, and we have to be prepared for all of those things. And so recognizing the power of the Lord in us not backing down from who we are and what God has called us to do, because different people show up, different people call in and different things, we have the authority through the laying on of hands of us to act in this godly fashion. You know, when I was ordained, when I became a licensed minister, there was a lot of steps I had to go through. And one of them was, you know, them checking my background check. And then knowledge of the scriptures and this. And, you know, the test and all of those things. And going through the classes and all that. But when it came down to being ordained, that's when all of my fathers came and laid hands on me. And when they did, that was them acknowledging before the congregation, before the jurisdiction, before the district, that we have found him worthy, that we have found him, all right, in good standing with the church, to come before the people to impart the word of life, to minister before the people, and now to also be able to lay hands.
Right. Now, Pastor, I have a question. It says, is the laying on of hands necessary to receive the Holy Spirit?
No.
Is it necessary? Okay.
No, because the thief that was on the cross with Jesus received the Holy Spirit. You know, there was the good thief He said, he don't deserve to be up here with us. Jesus said, today you will see me in paradise. You know, Jesus gave him the word, saved him, filled him with the Holy Ghost while all three of them were hanging on the cross. Different times we see in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Holy Ghost just through the preaching of the gospel. People were healed just by walking in the shadow of Paul. And so the answer is no. But the answer is sometimes too. Because everybody is different, and a person's faith may be at the level where, you know, they hear a word and they want God so bad, they just receive the Lord and they've heard some scripture, they said, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And God, knowing their heart and their mind, will fill them. And then there are some that are going to be filled with a different level of spirit. They're more babes than the other, you know. But nevertheless, we're all saved, and the laying on of hands brings them in, and it is them seeing that the connection, the power, the authority, and seeing the act of it all coming together that binds their faith, and then has them speak the word. You know, let me say something real quick, because I just got a quick anecdote, because, you know, my wife works in clinical research. And since you know about therapy, the power of a placebo, right? People think that they're getting the real medicine and all of a sudden they heal. And so, yes. So go on.
They do that in research, because a lot of times it's your faith, it's your belief. But yes. I also want to say, I know we 8 minutes left on the show. Now, a lot of times when you see individuals wanting to have hands laid upon them, a lot of times it's because the person may have a problem or something they're dealing with, going through, but also healing of the sick. Doctor, can you talk a little bit about that? Because that is one of the number one reasons most individuals, especially with what we see on television, is because they're sick, they have cancer, they got all these things going on in their body. But let's talk about the laying of hands in regards to the healing of the sick.
We've seen it a lot of times in the New Testament through Jesus, and then in the Gospels, and then also in the book of Acts. And so back in Leviticus, you know, the law tells them, the high priest, he shall lay hands on the head of the offering, make atonement for the people on their behalf, and it's for the healing of the nation, okay? Then we see different times in the Gospels where Jesus laid hands upon them and they were made whole. The people came, they heard the message, they got in line, they brought sick ones to Jesus, and Jesus laid hands upon them. In Mark 6 and 5, it says, where their faith was waning, he said he could do no miracles except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. This was a situation where the people's faith was waning, but there were a few people, okay, that had faith, and Jesus went and laid hands upon them. And as he said, thy faith has made thee whole. It's a connection, okay? In the book of Acts, when they had prayed and fasted, they laid hands upon them. They were healed, and then they sent them away. All right? In the book of Mark, it says they brought to him one who was deaf, dealing with the sickness. And he spoke of great difficulty, and they asked him to lay hands upon him. Jesus laid hands upon him. He was healed. Now here comes one of my most favorite words in the New Testament, immediately. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was erect. She was made whole and glorifying God. Two of my favorite words in the New Testament, Jeanette, is one is suddenly and one is immediately. And the Lord, that's when God gets really personal. You want me to do it suddenly? You want me to do it immediately? Come to me with faith. You know, you want me to lay hands upon you, be healed by that? Come to me with an unwavering faith. And so we see that many times. I've been to healing meetings. You know, I have my I have my opinions about healing meetings because we're going to bring everybody together and there's going to be a healing tonight. And because I believe that God can heal whenever he wants to. I don't believe we have to set a date or a time, and that's the only time God's going to heal. So that's all I'll say on that for now. But what I'm saying is that I have seen the power of healing firsthand. The Lord has healed through my hands, but it's a faith connection. One of my most personal experiences was when I was on the sick bed of a member who had been a member of my church for a long time, and the Lord was getting ready to take her home. And I was praying the prayer of healing, and she stopped me, and she said, "Pastor, if you keep praying, I know God's going to heal me." And she said, "But I'm ready to go." And you should have seen my face, Jeanette. And and she said, "Sit with me." And she sat with me, and I saw her spirit being taken up. And that'll never leave me. That'll never leave me. And that was a powerful experience.
Because, see, the thing is, if you had the power to do it when you wanted to, then that'll make you a doctor in study of medicine. But when you start talking about medicine, you start talking about faith, the two don't go together. So if you answer, and that's why people get so confused, and then we start trying to educate individuals, they want it, like when you said the word, immediately. We want this quick fix. We want you to do it now. We want you to raise people from the dead. We want you to, and so individuals come in sometimes with these unrealistic expectations, but it's all about God's will, God's timing. And that's what we're learning now, to pray for people, to pray for the doctors, to pray for the person driving the school bus, to pray for, you know, to put a covering over them. Because it's still not for them to do. It's God got to go do it through them.
Amen.
So now we have 2 minutes left on the show. And, I mean, this is a very interesting show. But one of the things is, in conclusion of this, the laying of hands, as we know, is a powerful biblical truth. Whether people believe it or not, because believers who exercise the truth in the Bible will lead a more fulfilling and spiritual life here on earth, because we don't know, we don't have all the answers, we don't have, what we have is what we're reading, what we're going through, and what we're trying to teach and share with other individuals. And that's why I like the dialogue of getting the callers calling in so you can, you know, see where and hear where they're at. And that's how you bring all of this together, regardless of what denomination you're from. Now, when we start talking about that, because if we ignore or reject the biblical truth, it will hurt our relationship with the Lord. And everybody's walk and everybody's faith is going to be different. So when we start talking about that, we got to remember, too, that God has no limits on how far we can go with him. But it's all going to be up to us. So, Pastor, already got the topic for next week. It's going to be being a man of God, because we got to start training our youth. We got to start talking to our husbands, our brothers. We got to help some people in regards to that. But, Pastor, what do you want to close today's show with?
Well, I think we covered a lot. This topic is so huge. We only scratched the surface. We may get back into it in a few weeks. But I am still just taken by the caller still. The caller was listening. The caller called in. It's powerful. There are people listening. And to understand that, we didn't have a time to cover this point, but even though these are biblical truths, and we exercise them, at one time they were ostracized by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And people trying to control the church by their own means, and trying to make the church look like a world civic group or an organization instead of like the world. I mean, instead of like the church. And for me, it's important for us to understand, as a church, let the church be the church, and let us follow what God has given us to follow. And that's how we will attract more people. We have to be who we are, and we have to understand the tools and the gifts that God has given us. And when we use them, there's no stopping us. And I believe that fully.
Okay, Pastor, you forgot to tell them where you are. We got 10 seconds left. How can they reach you?
All right. We are in the wonderful city of San Marcos in North San Diego County. We are at 800 West Mission Road next to Palomar College. That's Higher Dominion Worship Center. You can reach us online at hdwc.life. God bless you, and we look forward to hearing from you. We'll see you on the next show, or we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.